Father, as we go to your word this morning, I'm asking, Lord God, that you would continue what you've already started. We sense your presence. We sense, Lord God, your awesomeness as we were in worship. Now, Lord God, we're asking that our hearts would be open and ready to receive what you have for us as we just open up your word to the truths that you have for us. May something said, something done, minister to us in a miraculous way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many believe God wants to do something fresh and new in our lives every time that we get together? Every time. Not, you know, we sometimes, I just pray that God would do this amazing thing. God wants to do amazing things in our lives every day. Every moment that he's around us, sometimes we, I believe, block ourselves from receiving what he has for us. And this morning, as we look to Lent and as we kind of prepare our hearts as we move into the Lenten season, I'm praying that God would just do something fresh and new, something amazing, something that we're not even aware of, and not necessarily even praying for, because we don't know what all we should be praying at times, but that God would do something new, a mighty move of God, and a calling for us to be more like Jesus. Is that your prayer this morning? Wouldn't that be a good prayer for God to take us into a deeper relationship with him, God to take us into a deeper worship, a deeper time of going into his word? And that is my prayer this morning. We sprang forward. We do that so that we get this one extra hour of daylight at the end of the day. And probably if you think about it, everyone would seem to be wanting that and desiring to get one more hour of sunlight, but we're not all willing to lose that 1 hour of sleep. Amen. You know, sometimes you think this, you know, some woke up late this morning and they had to run extra hard to get where they needed to be at the time they needed to be at. Some won't make it here this morning, and we may even see a couple as we're going out the door coming in. Amen. That happened a couple years ago where they totally missed it, and as we were leaving, they were coming in and realized what had happened. But sometimes it seems to me that the things that appear good always come with a challenge and a sacrifice. Amen. The things that are usually something that would minister to our hearts are things that either come with a challenge and come with a sacrifice. And Lenten season is no different. We all face challenges. We all face the sacrifices. And when I look at the Lenten season, I kind of look at it in two different ways, because I didn't grow up with all of the traditional thinking of Lent and all the different services. I didn't grow up with that. In fact, I wasn't raised in a Christian home in the beginning, and really didn't understand all of the things that went on. And you know, when I did get involved with my faith journey, I attended a church that really just centered in on Easter. It was all about the resurrection of Easter. A resurrection of Christ at Easter time. It was kind of a challenge, and I think the Lent, Lent is on your jacket. Lent is not what I'm talking about. Lent, when we look at Lent, Lent is important to us and can lead us to this deeper walk with God. And like I said, as a kid, my Easter before I came to the Lord was all about finding eggs and Easter baskets and chocolates and being in a candy coma for a couple days and all of the things that go with that. And it wasn't until later, as I journeyed in my faith, that I saw the importance. So I don't know, maybe maybe you're here this morning and you were raised like I was, that wasn't around the importance of Lent and the importance of the services and the importance of why they did some of the things that they do. And so let me kind of give you just a quick overview of Lent, and then move into, I want to share just some thoughts with you. Lent is the 40 days before Easter, not counting Sundays, as we kind of walk towards and march towards the cross. And as you know, like I said, as a kid, it was all about Easter. So it wasn't the journey to Easter. It was boom, there's Easter, and so you kind of thought about that, and we definitely know that Easter is important in our lives as believers. And usually that 40 days where God is trying to speak through us to in the journey to the cross, most of society is wrapped up in non-Christian traditions. And walking towards candy and Easter eggs and all of those things sucked up in kind of pagan traditions. And if you're not careful, you really miss what God is trying to do. And it begins on Ash Wednesday. And as my upbringing, I never could understand why somebody would go on Wednesday and have ashes put on their head. And you know, I always thought that was kind of a pagan thoughts, and I really didn't understand all of that was going on. And then as I began to find out that the Palm Sunday leaves from the year before were what was burnt and made the ashes, and as the priest or the minister would make the sign of the cross on your forehead, is asking, giving you a blessing as you come into that Lenten season, and you see that it's a most holy time. It's a time that God wants to minister to us, and then you see Palm Sunday, and you realize, oh, those leaves represented that the Ash Wednesday was beginning. And then you see that when you think about it, the time that Jesus was coming in Jerusalem, that they're waving all these palm leaves and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the very same people, just like days later, are yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And then you think of what they call Maundy Thursday, and you think about the Last Supper with Jesus, and you think about those times that Jesus just got with his disciples and washed their feet, and all of the things that were going on as you seen his lesson of humility, and you see that, you know, he was desiring to prepare them. And as they shared that last meal together, and you know, if you ever were a part of when we used to come together different churches for a Maundy Thursday, It was a somber time. It was a time where they usually ended the service in quietness, and you walked out, and the Good Friday service is quiet, and you see all of these things that you didn't see before. And I think that the Lord is trying to show us something. I think of the verse Luke 22, verses 14 and 19. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After the cup, he takes and gives thanks and says, take this and divide it among you, for I will tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we're going to have communion here in just a little bit. And then John in chapter 13, verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all these things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer garments, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He said and came to Simon Peter, Lord, Are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Philippians 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human interest. Human likeness, I mean. Jesus' own words, he says this, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. If we truly grab on to these verses of Scripture, we see that not only is the Lord providing everything that he needs for our lives, but he's trying to show us and teach us to be more like Christ. He's trying to teach us the mindset of why he went to the cross for each and every one of us. And if you look at this new commandment, it shares and it shows us the definition of love. It shows us the definition of a higher standing of love that we should be showing for each other. It shows his sacrificial love for each one of us and for his followers and the deepest need that we have. This new spiritual life that offers life and forgiveness. And then we see that without that, we can't be like Christ. We can't love our enemies without having the love of Christ in our lives. Can you say amen to that? It's so easy for us to get lost up in all of these things that Jesus is trying to show us and tell us. And unless we experience it, unless we actually know why he's doing some of these things, he calls us to show love to one another. He calls us to be a servant. He calls us to be a disciple. He calls us to want to spread the gospel. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to want to get sin out of our life. Any one of those could have been a good place to put amen. God loved us while we were yet sinners. We can't grab on to that. Salvation is a gift, and it protects us from the penalty that we deserve, but it's also a great showing of his love. And then when you think of Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified, and he's thrown in this tomb, and he's sealed and buried, and they did everything that they could so that what Jesus had said would happen could not happen. And then believers that spent those 3 days not knowing what was going on, not really understanding what was happening, not really even understanding that during that time that Jesus took the keys right from Satan and gave us an opportunity to be saved and an opportunity to know him, an opportunity to spend eternity with Christ. It ought to be a day of thanking God. We ought to, as believers, have better days of showing our gratitude to the Lord. You say amen to that? That, you know, if you ever watch John Gray on TBN, he says he calls it a praise break. And he'll be right in the middle of preaching, and all of a sudden he'll go, time for a praise break. And I think for us that sometimes we just need to take a praise break. We just need to take time in the midst of all the things that are going on in our lives to just thank God for what he's already doing in our lives, for what he's already given us. And if we would do that, we would see more things that God wants to see done and would happen in our lives. And then, you know, I love Easter. I love the time that I can come in here and challenge us to really experience the risen Savior and how the 500 witnesses that were right around there recorded saw him. But if we don't grasp on to the whole picture, we miss out on what God is wanting to do. I was one of those. When I experienced the Lord, I ran to the cross. Now hear me when I say this. I ran to the cross and desired for God to do something amazing in my life, even at a young age. I didn't understand it all, but I wanted to experience that. But numerous times, maybe you're like me, numerous times in my life, I've felt empty. I felt like there has to be more, that I wasn't receiving all that I was supposed to receive from the Lord. And then all of those times that I realized that I was probably not where I should be, and then that you know, some of it I blamed myself because the Lord was trying to show me things and I wasn't listening, and then I paid the price and I had to learn some things the hard way. And then there's a part of me that I was too proud to surrender to the Lord. Can you say amen to that this morning? There's so many things that we desire God to do something, and then he tells us what we need to do to experience it, and we're too proud to surrender. We're too proud to allow God to do what he himself wants to do in our lives. It would be a whole lot easier to learn things the easy way, amen, and not have to go through those hard times. So I say this. So what is Lent supposed to accomplish in our lives? You know, what are in these 40 days should we be trying to grasp onto? Is it a reminder of what Jesus has done for us? Yes. Is it a time to reflect and examine where you're at and where you are spiritually in your life? I would say yes. Is it all about what we're corporately going to do in worship and what we're desiring for God to do individually in our lives? I would say yes. Lent is really a time to reflect. It's a time to do soul searching, and it's a time to take stock of where we are and where we need to go and where we want to be. It's a time to make sure that spiritually we're not backsliding. It's a time to make sure that we're examining our hearts and our lives and desiring to do what Jesus wants. It should be a time where we really can take and reflect where you're at with the Lord. Are you drawing closer to him, or are you falling back? And if you're not farther along than you were months ago, then you need to take a look at that and see where you're at and what usually needs to happen. And I admit that sometimes I struggle with Lent. And here's why I struggle with it. Usually with Lent, I am saying Lent. I don't know if my teeth ain't working today or what, but I am saying Lent. It usually involves giving up something for 40 days. For some, it's candy and drinking and smoking and going on a diet and watching TV or not watching TV, the movies that you're watching or you're not watching, the video games that you play or you don't play, whether you're going to get on or off Facebook for a certain time, cell phones, things that take us away from God, less time on the internet. And I guarantee that a lot of people won't give up their cell phone. Catholics give up meat and they eat fish on Friday. And we kind of go around and we tell people what we're going to give up for these 40 days. Like we wear it like a badge of honor. I'm going to give up M&Ms for 40 days. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that for 40 days. And when you really stop and you think about it, when you think about that Christ denied himself and went to the cross, Christ sacrificially gave all, not some. He didn't just give up M&Ms. He didn't just give up something that was meaningless. He gave and sacrificed all. And he prayed to the Father, to the scripture says, till there was blood. He was sweating blood. And my question to you this morning is, as you prepare your heart for Easter, are you willing to go to that extent for God to do something amazing and fresh and new in your life? Lent was designed to take God's people to a deeper place than where they're at. Amen? That's the whole point. For us to go deeper in our relationship with God, so when you come out on the other side of that, if you haven't done that, you missed what God has wanted in your life. A deeper walk with God. A journey with God that involves adventure and risk. The older I get, the more I say to God, I will do whatever you want me to do. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, whatever that sacrifice needs to be, because here's where I have a problem with Lent. We have no right to come to God and say, God, for 40 days, I'm going to give you this, but at the end of 40 days, I'm going to take it back. God, I'm going to give up M&Ms for 40 days and you take it back. I'm going to give up this and come and take it back. We have no right, because if God is asking us to get rid of it, he wants to remove it from our lives. You know, sometimes I think, and I use this illustration, if you're an M&M freak like my wife, I'm really not making this personal. I'm not making this personal. What I'm saying is, if God tells you something that's in your life that he wants out, he doesn't only want it out for 40 days. He wants it out. He wants to do something fresh and new. He desires to remove it and give us the strength. But somehow, and hear me, and I'm winding down, hear me, somehow, somewhere along the way, Lent has become a portion of time instead of a journey. Instead of ending up at the cross, we end up in a badge of honor. Somewhere along the line, we felt like if it was something that we were doing instead of what God was doing through us and for us. Somewhere along the line, we got comfortable in the darkness. And we don't realize how dark the dark is. And we choose what we will do and what we won't do. Somewhere, somehow, we've stopped living for the Lord and started telling the Lord what we're going to do and how much of the reflection of Christ we will allow in our lives. I think God is calling each one of us this morning to relearn what it means to be loved by God. That would be a good place to say amen. That we would really understand what it means to be loved by God and what it means on how we should love others. To examine ourselves and to make sure that we're on track of what the Lord wants for our lives. To be seeking out the Redeemer with our whole heart and be willing to let him do what he desires to do. Each one of us needs to be more willing to allow God to do that. See, each one of us, we love telling other people what's wrong with them. We have no problem telling someone else what's wrong with them. But we get real sensitive when someone or the Lord is trying to tell us what's going on in our lives. Lent is about an attitude change. See, the bottom line is this: more of Jesus, less of self. He must increase and I must decrease. As a believer, that is the heartbeat. That is what we're striving for, what we should be allowing the Lord to do. Daniel 9:3 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." See, when you look at the Old Testament, you see them tearing their clothes and sitting down in ashes. It was a sign of repentance. It was a sign of being sorrowful. It was a time of wanting change. Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I have to tell you that if Jesus called something sin 100 years ago, it's still sin. Whether society wants to water it down, whether society wants to take another look at it, it doesn't matter. You see, Jesus isn't simply calling us to believe that he existed. He's calling us to want to follow him. He's calling us to pick up our cross. He's calling us to be different. He's calling us to commitment. Can you imagine what the church of Jesus Christ would be like if we committed ourselves to the Lord? If we committed ourselves to the task that the Lord has for us, if we committed our lives to him and really walked up in honesty to him and said, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, I will let you, and willfully wanting you to do. It's so much more than salvation. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And as we just move towards communion this morning, is Christ the master of your life? Only you can answer that this morning. Is Christ able to make changes in your life? Is Christ able to use you in your workplace? Is Christ able to allow you to sit down with your family and teach them the things of God, to show them the ways of the Lord, to prioritize everything that's needed in our lives? Is he the master of our lives? Are we satisfied with where we're at, or do we want more? See, when I was not familiar with Lent and the things of that, I just believed that was too traditional, that you would have a service during Holy Week, that you would dare to put ashes on your forehead, that you dare come to a service so somber that they usually strip the altar and everything that's around it to try to signify what it would be like without Christ. And I thought that everything had to go to Easter. The Holy Spirit was driving everybody right to Easter, but I'm learning that there's a process in between there where God wants to get a hold of our hearts and show us all the wonderful things. If we really grasped on to who he was and who he is and what he wants to do, every one of these things would drive us closer to him. Amen? Would drive us to want a relationship that goes deeper. If you really believed, as Josh and the worship team sang, if you really believed that God created billions of stars, named them all, and you really believed that I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength, it would change your life. It would change your life. If you looked at a rocket ship that could go to the moon and realize that way past the moon, there's still universes that God hasn't even showed us yet. I had a friend that years ago, he was a bus driver for Greyhound, and he said that when he dies that he believes the Lord was going to allow him to go to all these planets and all these places that he's created, and he couldn't wait. And you had to know the guy. He was crazy. It was like he would get up and go right then and there if he could. If we really believed all the things that God tells us, we would change some things in our life. Amen. Let me just bow your head with me this morning, and then I'm going to call the ushers this morning for communion. Father, I just ask as we just wrap up the sermon here, Lord God, if we truly believed everything that we sing and hear and read, God, how would that affect our lives? How would it change how we approach the throne room of God? If we really believed that we serve a God that is untamable, that loves us and desires our best, why wouldn't we go to prayer first instead of last? Why wouldn't we speak his word with encouragement to someone that's hurting? Why wouldn't we invite someone to church? Why wouldn't we want to get involved in someone's life when we see that they're hurting? Lord God, help us to be more the image of Christ. Help us, Lord God, as we begin this Lenten season, Lord God, to really see that as you journey to the cross, it's all a process of how you want us to be in our own lives. Making sacrifices, being a witness, showing people love, going the extra mile, being the hands and feet of Christ. Help us, Lord God, to be all of these things, and that you would get honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.